Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I hope you will not tune me out, because once again, I'm going to say something about abortion. And all too often, people have what has been popularly termed as abortion fatigue. The reason I use this opportunity to once again broach that subject is that today marks the 46th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court decision to legalize abortion on demand. And since that fateful day in 1973, 60 million babies have been killed in the United States of America. And by the way, worldwide, between 40 and 50 million abortions are performed each and every year. That's about 125,000 abortions every single day. The number of abortions performed by Planned Parenthood are not declining. They're increasing this year by 11,373, and the 3 in the 11,373 is an important number in that each life, and sometimes we get lost in the statistics, is a life that matters, because every human being upon conception is a body-soul unity created as an icon of God. Planned Parenthood conducted 332,757 abortions in the year 2018 alone, last year. 563.8 million in revenue comes from our government to Planned Parenthood. And that is an increase of about $20 million from the previous fiscal year. Private contributions, private, not government, but private, they grew to $630.8 million. And that's not all. 1.5 million individual contributors. That's outside of government grants and corporate contributions. Yesterday, when I got home, I saw a remarkable interview on Fox. It was with actress Ashley Bratcher. She plays an anti-abortionist activist, an anti-abortion activist named Abby Johnson, in a soon-to-be-released biopic that's titled Unplanned. And as a Planned Parenthood clinic director, she facilitated about 22,000 abortions. And she counseled countless women on their reproductive choices. But but now she's an outspoken pro-life advocate. And this upcoming film, Unplanned, tells her true story. Turns out that Ashley Bratcher, the actor who plays Abby Johnson in the film, has a story of her own. And that's what mesmerized me yesterday as I was watching. She's been somewhat ambivalent about abortion. But then in preparing for her role and studying the details that Abby Johnson shared about working at Planned Parenthood, her eyes were suddenly open to the reality of what abortion really is, what it actually is, the painful killing of an innocent human being. And when she started to tell her mother that she'd been cast to play the role of Abby Johnson, her mother broke down in tears. And through her tears, she said, I need to tell you something that I never told you before. When I was 19, I went to have an abortion. I was in the clinic on the table. And the nurse that was attending to me was very pregnant, and she came in to examine me, and I got sick to my stomach. I knew I couldn't do it. I got up. I walked out. I chose life. I chose you. All of Ashley's experiences are a reality because of the choice made that day. Ashley says that she never knew that about herself until she stepped into this role to play Abby Johnson and tell one of the greatest pro-life stories of all time. The fact is simply this. Abortion is the painful killing of an innocent human being. It is painful because the child that is killed is subjected to methods that are unthinkable, sometimes burning and smothering, dismembering, crushing, and then sold for profit. It's killing in that from the very beginning, that which is terminated fulfills the criteria necessary for establishing the existence of biological life. And that includes metabolism, development, even the ability to react to stimuli, cell reproduction. So it's painful, it's killing, and it's the painful killing of an innocent human being, in that a preborn child deserves protection, not capital punishment. A preborn child is very vulnerable, we might say the most vulnerable amongst us, and is a human being in truth, in that the child who is killed is the offspring of human parents, has a totally distinct genetic code. The bottom line is this: to be silent or to be uninformed in an age of scientific enlightenment is to be complicit in the carnage. Thankfully, however, those, by God's grace, who have participated in abortion may receive God's forgiveness in the present. And they can also look forward to the ecstasy of reunification with unborn loved ones in eternity. God's grace is beyond compare. The quote of the day comes from President Ronald Reagan. This was from his proclamation designating the National Sanctity of Human Life Day back in 1984, he said this: "We have been given the precious gift of human life, made more precious still by our births in or pilgrimages to a land of freedom. It is fitting then, said Ronald Reagan, on the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision in Roe v. Wade that struck down state anti-abortion laws, that we reflect anew on these blessings and on our corresponding responsibility to guard with care the lives and freedoms of even the weakest of our fellow human beings. Reagan was right. But think of all the presidents, including President Trump, that are sounding the same alarm against abortion, that are opting for life. When you think about these presidents, you realize that while the ballot box is necessary, it's not sufficient. The educational, the environmental, the institutions that surround us are still crafting the culture, when Christianity should indeed be doing so.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him. Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand." To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go to the phone lines. Talk to Clay in Higgins, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Clay.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you and I appreciate what you do. First time I've ever called. I was reading this morning in Mark. I think it's Mark 7 or Mark 8 in that area. Jesus heals a man who is deaf and dumb. He puts his fingers in his ear. He spits. I think he touches the guy. And then he tells the guy, as he does in numerous other places in the epistles, not to tell anyone. Why did Jesus tell people that he had healed not to tell anyone?
Yeah, well, that is what you find in the text, and it is Mark chapter 8. You know, Christ is to sit upon the throne of David forever. And he does not fulfill that mission until he's coronated on the cross as the Messiah, not of this world, but the eternal kingdom of God, which will never pass away. And you have to understand that in the ministry, therefore, Christ had to counter all of the false political views that circulated with respect to Messiah. His mission could only be fully understood in light of his crucifixion and his resurrection. And Jesus wanted the people, therefore, to have a context for what he was doing. In other words, that his mission was not merely temporary in terms of the miraculous, but a new heaven and a new earth which would never again suffer. And this was something that even the disciples didn't fully apprehend. Even when he was about to ascend into heaven, remember the disciples were wondering, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus had to tell them no. He had to tell them that their mission was an eternal mission. It was not to build a Jewish theocracy. So Jesus was more interested in equipping his disciples as reproducing disciple makers than he was in merely doing a miracle. And by the way, in acting out a parable, which Jesus did, this becomes a visible, a discernible miracle that is acted out in decrees. At first, the disciples see, but they are still not seeing clearly and fully until the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we see later on in Mark chapter 9. So again, there has to be a context for the miracles that Christ is doing, plus a proper focus with respect to miracles.
Okay. I'll chew on that.
Cool. Well, thanks for calling.
I appreciate it. It's a little bit heavy for me. Can you dumb it down just a tick?
Well, I mean, I think the essence of it here is that Jesus wanted to understand, wanted his disciples to understand the mission. The mission was not temporary miracles. It was not to build a Jewish theocracy. That wasn't the point. The point was that he had come for a far greater purpose, and that is to establish an eternal kingdom. And the disciples had the privilege of being co-laborers with him. So the kingdom was inaugurated when Jesus Christ landed in disguise, as it were, but it would be consummated with his resurrection and his ascension. And so he wanted the disciples to see the global picture as opposed to the parochial picture, which was just the establishment of a Jewish theocracy getting out from under the heel of Rome.
So So you feel like the fact that he didn't want people to speak of the miracles was maybe even more for his apostles than it was for the general public.
Yeah, and in some ways, as I said, he was acting out the miracle in degrees in that sense so that they would not only hear but understand.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate your time, Hank. I always appreciate your views and your knowledge. Thank you.
You got it. I want to say something about soft persecution in the West. I'm thinking about an article by David French that I read either today or yesterday. I can't remember. But I remember the headline in the National Review. This was truly a memorable article. Karen Pence, are you now or have you ever been a part of a Christian ministry? Of course, if you answer yes to that question, then in accord with the culture, you're a bigot. You're a homophobe. You're unfit for public service. You are to be scorned and shamed. Why? Because Christianity may no longer play a role in public life. Try to say something counter to same-sex marriage and be in the public domain, particularly as a politician. And that is the state of the union we find ourselves in today. The misinformation, the disinformation, the turning truth on its head has become simply mind-boggling. An article in the New York Times, Karen Pence, the second lady of the United States, returned to teaching art, accepting a part-time position, horror of horrors, at a private Christian school that does not allow gay students. The Huffington Post, Karen Pence is working at a school that bans LGBTQ employees and kids. The school discriminates against the LGBTQ people in its job application and says LGBTQ kids aren't welcome. CNN White House reporter Kate Bennett tweeted, so let me get this straight. The Second Lady of the United States has chosen to work at a school that openly discriminates against LGBT adults and children. Even Lady Gaga got in on the act. She condemned the Pences during a concert to Mike Pence. She said, who thinks it's acceptable that his wife work at a school that bans LGBTQ? You are wrong. You say we should not discriminate against Christianity. You are the worst representation of what it means to be a Christian. I'm a Christian woman, says Lady Gaga, and what I do know about Christianity is that we bear no prejudice and everyone is welcome. So you can take all of that disgrace, Mr. Pence, and you can look yourself in the mirror and you'll find it right there. All in all, concludes David French, the media makes it sound as though Karen Pence has joined some kind of a fringe Christian cult, like the Branch Davidians. But in truth, Pence is teaching at a school that, like every other Orthodox Christian church and institution, believes that human identity is not defined by sexuality or gender identity, but rather by faith in Christ and obedience to his principles and to his precepts. If the media finds it necessary to report that Christians are Christians, says French, then it's rather clear that institutional support for gay marriage under civil law is now veering into institutional hostility against Christian orthodoxy and against the basic free exercise of the Christian faith. While it ought to be replete in the headlines, and the sad reality is not, is that the Bible does not condemn same-sex sexuality in an arbitrary, a capricious fashion. Rather, it carefully defines the borders of human sexuality so that our joy might be complete. The temptation to yield to cultural norms is going to continue to be presented to everyone from Pence to the local plumber with increasing ferocity. And yet to yield our consciences to cultural norms is to abandon the very call that God has placed upon our collective lives. To deny natural law is to strike a mortal blow to the foundation of this free society. Something to remember. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember Monday through Friday, your calls answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. And thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. So long for today.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.